Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us and for all the many people that have faithfully served in this place over the years. Now, as we come to the time in the service where we look at your word, we once again ask for your grace that you will minister to us, teach us, and use us. We commit these next moments to you in Jesus' name. Amen. When I say the word evangelism, what immediately pops into your mind? I think for some people, they immediately think of a huge stadium, a crusade choir, a powerful evangelist, an invitation with scores of people streaming forward. Other people have an entirely different concept of evangelism. When they think of evangelism, it is not public evangelism. They think about it as personal evangelism. They think of a Christian living a consistent, godly Christian life before the people he works with. They think of a Christian day in and day out, letting his light shine before those people that know him best. Others perhaps think of a Christian pistol whipping a prospective convert with Bible verses. Some people think of evangelism in social terms. As a matter of fact, if you were to ask those who are liberal theologically, they would say that evangelism is helping the poor, social action. So that when some people think of evangelism, they think that it is changing individuals so that the world will believe, and other people think that it's changing the world so that individuals will believe. Now, just what is evangelism anyway? Almost like asking the obvious, isn't it? Well, of course we know what evangelism is, don't we? Or do we? Give me a verse that tells me what evangelism is. That's tough. As a matter of fact, if you were to peel your Bible off the shelf and thumb through it, you would discover that the word evangelize isn't even in the Bible. To make our task even tougher, the word evangelize isn't or wasn't even in the English language until the 17th century. Maybe that's part of the reason why there is such confusion as to just exactly what evangelism is. But we do have hope. It may not be that the word evangelize is in the English translation of the Bible, but it is in the Greek text. It's not translated in the English translation by the word evangelism or evangelize, but it is there. So, based on that, what I'd like to do this morning is for us to have a Bible study on the subject of evangelism. I would like for us to take the word evangelize or evangelism itself and break it apart and try to understand exactly what this subject is all about. I'm going to start with the word evangel. We don't use that word much in English, but if you could read the Greek New Testament, you would see that the New Testament is seasoned with that word from beginning to end. Let me just define the word evangel. The word evangel in Greek means good news. That is all the word means. It's good news. As a matter of fact, it's made up of two words. One means good and the other means news. It means good news. And it means any good news. It could be the good news that your team had won. It could mean the good news that your taxes had been reduced. It could be the good news that your mother-in-law is not coming to spend 6 months with you after all. It just means any good news. It was a secular word in the first century that meant good news. Now, the writers of the New Testament picked up that word and they used it of a particular good news. Turn with me for just a moment to Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says in Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word that's translated gospel in Mark 1:1 is the Greek word evangel. It means simply good news. So what the writers of the New Testament did is that they took this word, the Greek word evangel, translated gospel, and they applied it to Jesus Christ. And they talked about the good news concerning Jesus Christ. Mark, in his book, uses that as the title for his whole book. Mark 1:1 is the title of the book of Mark. And so he is saying, in the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God. And from there, he goes on and pins the Gospel of Mark. So, evangel means good news. In the New Testament, it is particularly the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, that includes all kinds of things about Jesus Christ, that he came to set up a kingdom. But as you keep reading the New Testament, you discover that the writers of the New Testament have narrowed it down more and more to a couple of things about Jesus Christ, to several particular things about Jesus Christ. Let me show you what I mean. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the passage that we read a moment ago. It is the only passage in the New Testament that gives a detailed definition of the gospel or the evangel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. Now let me explain what's going on in this passage. Evidently, there were some people at Corinth who doubted and denied the resurrection of the dead. Now, that's evident from verse 12. He says, now if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Paul says that some were saying in Corinth there is no resurrection of the dead. Now, what Paul does is he starts out not talking about the resurrection of the dead at all. He starts out talking about the gospel. For evidently, these people who denied the resurrection of the dead did not deny the resurrection of Christ. So Paul starts out with that which they accepted to prove to them that which they denied. So he starts out in this passage discussing the gospel. Look at verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you, as I am declaring to you right now, the gospel. And then he tells them some things about that gospel, which I preached unto you before. He says, now I'm telling you right now that same thing that I preached to you when I was there, which he says, you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which you are saved. And the little word if should be translated since. Since you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless, of course, the whole thing is empty. So what Paul is saying is, look, I'm going to declare to you right now the good news, the evangel, the gospel, which I told you when I was there before, and you received it, and you stand on it, and matter of fact, that's the thing that got you saved. Now look at verse 3. For, now he's going to tell them what the gospel is. For, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. He states in verse 1, I'm going to declare to you the gospel. Then in verses 3 to 5, he mentions four things about Jesus Christ. That he died, that he arose, that he was buried, that he arose, that he was seen. But beside two of them, he says, according to the scriptures. So that if you read these verses carefully, what you discover is this. He says, Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried. He arose according to the scriptures. And he was seen. Now that little observation has led some to the conclusion that actually Paul is only saying two things. He is only saying that the gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he arose from the dead according to the scriptures. Now immediately you'll say, well, why did he say he was buried and he was seen? And the answer would be that the burial was proof that he died, and the appearances were proofs that he was seen. If that interpretation is correct, and I'm persuaded that it is, then what Paul is saying is this. The gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he arose from the dead. So, the evangel is the good news. It's the good news about Jesus Christ. It's the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he arose from the dead. That's the evangel, the gospel, the good news. Whatever else evangelism is, it is evangelism. It is gospelism. It is good newsism. A number of years ago, when I was an evangelist, I was invited to speak at a church in Memphis, Tennessee, called the Evangel Baptist Church. I hate to confess this, but when I first got to that church, I was an evangelist, and I'm sure I knew this, but somehow it must have slipped me. I didn't know what evangel meant. Can you believe that? And to make it worse, I had to ask the pastor where they got that name. And I said, where did you get the name Evangel Baptist Church? And this gracious pastor said to me, you don't know? And I said, no. And he said, evangel, friend, is gospel. Oh, I forgot. That's right. That church could have called itself the Good News Baptist Church. It could have called itself the Gospel Baptist Church. If you're going to take 1 Corinthians 15, you could have called it Christ died for our sins and arose from the dead, Baptist Church. That's not a bad name for a church. It's a little tough to get on the letterhead. I'm trying to make the point that evangel means good news, and the good news is Jesus Christ died for our sins and he arose from the dead. So the evangel is the good news about Christ, that he died and he arose. You got that? All right, that's the first thing we need to talk about. The second thing we need to talk about is the word evangelize. What I just talked about was the word evangel. We need to talk a minute about evangelize. That's the verb form of this word. Now, as you can imagine, that means to announce good news. Any good news, any announcement of any good news is to evangelize. So that if I were to announce to a rather anxious student, relax, buddy, you made an A on the test. Whew, that's good news. If I were to announce to a fearful patient, the test came back negative, and you do not have the disease, I would be evangelizing. I'd be announcing good news. If I were to announce to a waiting father. It's a boy. And mother and boy are fine. Then that would be, I'd be evangelizing. You never thought of evangelism like that, did you? Did you know doctors are evangelists? Pediatricians are evangelists. Every time they go out and announce, it's here and it's healthy, they've announced good news. That's what evangelism is. Now, that announcing of that good news, any good news, is used just like that in the Bible. I want you to turn with me for a second to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In this passage, the word evangelize is used of simply announcing some good news. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 says, "Now when Timothy came from you to me, or unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." Now, the word is translated in the King James Version, good tidings. But it is good news. Now, what's the good news in this verse? It's the good news of their faith and charity, and that they still had good remembrance of the Apostle Paul. So, to evangelize is just to tell you some good news. If I were to come up to you afterwards and say, you just inherited $1 million, I'd be announcing good news. That's evangelism. That's to evangelize. It's to announce good news. Now, in the New Testament, though the word does occur of announcing any good news, it is used most of the time of announcing the good news about Jesus Christ. So look at another verse. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." When the text says, "but to preach the gospel," literally it says, to preach the good news. If you could see that verse in the Greek text, you would see very quickly that it's saying, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to evangelize. The little term, preach the gospel, in this verse is the Greek word evangelize. And as I explained a minute ago, the good news is concerning Jesus Christ and that he died on the cross and that he paid for our sin. So, I have said two things this morning. Number one, evangel is good news. Any good news, but in the New Testament, good news about Jesus Christ, particularly that he died on the cross and rose from the dead. The second thing I've said is that the verb form of that, to evangelize, is to announce good news. But in the New Testament, announce good news about Christ, and particularly the good news that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. Now, what I'm trying to do this morning is I'm trying to, for us to come up with a definition of what evangelism is all about. I think at this point we could say that evangelism is announcing the good news about Jesus Christ. Would that be good news? I think I put him to sleep this morning. Would that be evangelism? Would it? How many of you think that would be evangelism? Raise your hand. How many of you do not think that would be evangelism? Ooh, several. How many of you do not think? Right. Well, I'm going to tell you. I have defined two words, evangel and evangelize, but I have not yet defined evangelism. All those who voted no, won. You say, what? Why? Well, you see, there's more to evangelism than just announcing the good news. Even the good news that Christ died for our sins. Let me illustrate. Let's suppose that we got all of our members, all of whom have professed to have trusted Jesus Christ, and we had just our members in a meeting, and I announce the good news. I preach the gospel. Would that be evangelism? No. I would be announcing the good news, but there wouldn't be any people there to trust Christ. That's not evangelism. There's something else we've got to put in here. Let's suppose a skeptic announced the good news in a classroom in order to ridicule it. Would that be evangelism? Well, of course not. So there's obviously a missing element in our definition so far. So let me give you a definition of evangelism. What's missing is a purpose. That there is the announcement of the good news, that much is true, but it is an announcement with a purpose. So I would give a definition of evangelism that would go something like this. Evangelism is announcing the good news about Christ with the intent of winning people to Jesus Christ. So we got to put that last little element in there. As a matter of fact, I think if you look at the New Testament in its entirety and look at this subject closely and carefully, you would have to conclude that there is an immediate intent and an ultimate intent. The immediate intent or purpose is to get the person to trust Christ. The ultimate intent beyond that is to get them to grow spiritually. So, when I am announcing the gospel to someone, I'm doing that with the intent of winning them to Christ and seeing them develop spiritually. Now let me just show you that in the scripture. Turn with me for just a second to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, Paul talks about preaching, and it's one of the words used for preaching the gospel, and he mentions that there is a purpose involved. Acts chapter 14, verse 15 says, "And saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you." And that's the Greek, one of the Greek words used for preaching the gospel. "We preach unto you that," here's the purpose why we preach, "that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein." So Paul mentions a purpose, an intention, and my intention is that you turn from these idols and that you get to know God, the living God. One of the illustrations in the scripture of evangelism is fishing for men. Now, some people go fishing just to throw their line in the water. And others go fishing and catch 180 fish. That was a discouraging announcement. I didn't go on yesterday's fishing trip. I went on the other one where we took pictures. Oh well, some people get fish and others get glory. They didn't have anybody taking pictures yesterday, so they won't get any glory. They just get fish. Now, why does a fisherman go fishing? With an intent, with a purpose. And the purpose is to catch fish. So, when a person announces the gospel, when he's preaching the gospel, when he's telling people about Jesus Christ, it's with the intent of winning that person to Jesus Christ. Several years ago, I was preaching in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and a friend of mine took me to lunch with an intellectual. The fellow had all kinds of questions and doubts about the Bible and God and Christianity and so forth. And we were eating lunch together and having a very amiable conversation about spiritual things. Now, I didn't hand him a contract and a pen and say, "Would you please sign this?" I didn't throw any sawdust on the floor in the restaurant and say, would you walk down a sawdust trail? I didn't do anything like that. I was just very casually talking to him about the Lord. And he looked at me after a few minutes and he said, you know, I get the distinct impression that what you're trying to do is convert me. And I said, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I'm trying to do, is convert you. I had not at that point invited him to trust Christ. I was just talking to him about the Lord. But he sure got the message. I mean, I wasn't talking to him about Jesus Christ to pass the time of day. I wasn't talking to him about Jesus Christ for my help. I was talking to him about Jesus Christ for his help. So that when evangelism, there is an intent, there's a purpose. And that purpose is to win the person to Jesus Christ. Now, that's the immediate purpose. There's an ultimate purpose. In the Great Commission, we're told that we're to go into all the world, we're to preach the gospel to every creature. Those who trust Christ, we're to baptize as a symbol of their relationship to Jesus Christ, and we're to teach them all things whatsoever Christ has commanded us. There is an ultimate intention of seeing this person grow spiritually, identifying themselves with a group of Christians that love the Lord, and seeing them grow. The same kind of thing is mentioned in Colossians. I want to show you one more verse this morning. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In this passage, Paul mentions the ultimate intent for why he preached. That word used of evangelism. He says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:28. Paul says we preach, and in the Greek text, that's one of those words used for evangelism. We preach, warning, teaching, that, and the ultimate purpose is that we may present this person perfect at the Bema seat of Christ. So there is this purpose of wanting to win the person to Christ and seeing them grow, seeing them become a member of a church, seeing them develop, seeing them presented before the Lord perfect. Now, what I'm saying this morning is simply this. Evangelism is communicating the good news about Jesus Christ with the intent of winning the person to Christ and ultimately seeing them grow in Jesus Christ. I want to clarify that in my opinion, evangelism includes two things. It includes information and includes an intention. The information concerns Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. The intention is to see the person trust Christ and grow in Christ. In my personal opinion, you've got to have both of those. It's information and an invitation to trust Christ. If you only have one, technically speaking, you do not yet have evangelism. And I don't misunderstand me. There may be a time when you just give information, but that would be pre-evangelism. That's not evangelism proper. I would say that information without an invitation may be instruction, but it's not evangelism. On the other hand, if all you did was invite people and you never gave them information, that's not evangelism either. An invitation without information may be an exhortation, but it is not evangelism. Evangelism is two things. It's telling people about Jesus Christ, and it's inviting people to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, if you were to go read books on this subject, what you would discover is that some people don't go far enough when they start defining evangelism, and other people go too far. Some want to say that evangelism is just proclaiming the gospel. So some mission organizations have gone to some mission fields, and they have tried to tell everybody in that country the gospel, and then they said, we evangelized it. I think they did a great service in some cases, but I don't think they had evangelism proper. That evangelism is more than just telling somebody about Jesus Christ. It's inviting them to trust Christ. On the other hand, there are those people who say that in order to evangelize, you've actually got to win the person to Jesus Christ. Now, in my opinion, that's going too far. I don't win anybody. The Holy Spirit does. The Spirit of God gives the increase. So you don't have to win them to evangelize. You just have to tell them and invite them to evangelize. But now, I went through all of this morning for this reason. I think that we as a church must become involved in evangelism. The Lord has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That sign hangs over our church. You see that phrase, preach the gospel? That's evangelism. If you understand by that, that you're telling people about Christ and you're inviting them to trust Him as Savior. We must be doing that because the Lord said so. Now that means we have to understand what it is. Let me put it like this. I want to tell you what evangelism is not. Just telling somebody about your conversion is not necessarily evangelism. Now don't misunderstand me. I think there is a time and a place for giving your testimony. That's great. But that in and of itself technically is not evangelism. Nor is just telling somebody what your creed is. I think there are times when a Christian gets into a discussion with somebody and they say, I do believe the Bible is the Word of God, or I do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or I've been born again. And that's fine. There's obviously a time when you need to do that. It's just that I don't want you to think that just because you've done that, that you have fulfilled the obligation to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because you haven't. Evangelism is more than just telling about your conversion or telling about your creed. It's telling people Jesus Christ died for them and inviting them to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let me mention one more. Evangelism is not telling people about your church. Now, I think you ought to tell people about your church. I hope you tell people about your church. Do you ever tell anybody that they ought to come to the Church of the Open Door? Do you? How many of you ever invited somebody to come to Church of the Open Door? Oh, that's beautiful. That's great. Keep it up. Okay? But if the person doesn't know Jesus Christ, just inviting them to come to church is not evangelism. Now, when they get here, I may evangelize them in that I tell them about Christ and invite them to trust Christ, but you have not evangelized if all you do is invite somebody to church. Now, what I think we need to do as a congregation is to know what evangelism is and then go do it. So I'm going to start a series of sermons. This one is the introduction. I'm going to talk about why we should evangelize. I'm going to talk about what we say when we evangelize. I'm going to talk about how to evangelize. I'm going to talk about the right and wrong way to do it. This is going to take us several weeks, and we're going to discuss the subject of evangelism so that we as a congregation can fulfill that command and commission and charge of Jesus Christ, and we can tell people about Jesus Christ, and we can invite them to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Does that interest you? Does it? Good. Let me conclude by telling you this. I thought to myself, I need an illustration for all of this. And I finally think I found one. What is a bona fide marriage proposal? Well, I think some people don't go far enough
And some people go too far. Now, let me explain. If this girl were dating a fella, and all he ever did was give her information and say, I love you. I love you. I'm madly in love with you. She would go home and pull her hair out, thinking, when is he ever gonna pop the question? On the other hand, if he just grabbed her by the arm one day and jerked her up to the justice of the peace and said, marry us, that'd be coming on too quick, going too far, too fast, right? Well, I've come up with a definition of a bona fide marriage proposal. It consists of two things, information and an invitation. It's saying, I love you. Will you marry me? By the way, she may say no. But when you've communicated that you really love her and you've invited her to be your wife, you've proposed. Now the rest is up to her. Ah, that's what we need to do with folk. We need to tell them God loves them, Christ died for them, and then we need to invite them to become part of his bride. That is evangelism, and that's what God wants us to do. Let's bow for a word of prayer. I'm going to ask every one of you here to bow your head, close your eyes. If you're a visitor this morning, or if you're just here, and perhaps you've been here before, but you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, then I would like to extend an invitation to you. I've given you some information this morning. Christ died for you. You can be saved freely. All you have to do is trust in Christ. And I'd like to invite you to do that. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a stanza two of an invitation hymn. And as we do, I'm going to invite you to come and meet us here at the front and let us show you how to trust Christ. If you've not got that settled, then you come in just a moment as we sing. Father, we thank you that someone told us. We thank you for the privilege of telling others. Lord, we pray that you would instruct us as a congregation so that we can be faithful to the command to evangelize the world. Now, Lord, for those here this morning that haven't yet settled this issue with you, I pray the Spirit of God might draw them to your Son and they can get it settled. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.